condolences to the Bajalid family on the passing of Mr. Paul Bajalid. He's a former longtime school teacher, coach, and referee. Many of us were taught by him, and he's going to be very sorely missed. So rest in peace, Paul, and best wishes to the family as they deal with the loss of their beloved Paul. Today on our show, we're going to have Captain Brianna Spooner of the Du Bois Salvation Army. She's going to explain their programs and needs and maybe clear up some confusing issues. But before we begin, I really would like you all to consider this. Our state budget that took 6 months to pass had a huge increase. The county just announced that they're raising taxes, and the new city has advised that they're raising taxes. And how about your gas, electric, water, and sewer bills, and your car insurance, and your homeowner's insurance? All of them went up. Our bills are higher than ever, and the community need, unfortunately, is increasing. And we're going to talk about that after this message.
Hi folks, are you having problems with your child at home? Is their behavior a problem? Are you at your wit's end? If so, call us for more information. Community County Services. We provide family-based mental health. Call for information at 371-8066. We work to help you keep your family together in a healthy way. Community County Services, 371-8066.
Okay, we're back, and if you're just joining us, this is Pat Shea on the Contact Program on Connect FM, and today we have Captain Brianna Spooner of the Du Bois Salvation Army. She's going to talk about our programs and needs, and again, keep in mind how much all of your bills have increased and how somebody less fortunate than you or us has greater need than they did perhaps last year. So good morning, Captain.
Good morning.
We appreciate you coming, and we're very anxious to hear about your programs. This is the time of year when most of us have our involvement with the Salvation Army. When we go to shop, we see the kettle and the person ringing a bell. And for many of us, that's our only involvement with the Salvation Army. So I'm very anxious to hear about your programs. What would you say is your most pressing issue today?
Well, there's always people who are in need. Sometimes the community is a little more aware of it than other times. But during Christmas, that's when we have our biggest fundraiser of the year, which is how we can help people all year round. So we really need volunteers to ring the bell. And we need people to put some money in that kettle so that we can make the dollar stretch a little further than maybe just going to the grocery store and buying a can of something yourself. That's our primary need right now, is to have kettle ringers. And I always think it's important to note that, because there was some confusion at one point, that our bell ringing effort is 100% volunteer driven. None of the people that you see on the kettles, even if you see them multiple days, are paid. They are all volunteering their time. And that ensures that here in Du Bois, the money goes even further to help our community, so that we're not paying anybody. They're doing it out of the goodness of their heart. So you're not taking anybody's paycheck if you sign up to do a volunteer shift.
Well, that's good to know. And I'm also thrilled to hear that you're getting volunteers, because I hear our fire departments and churches and everybody says they need more volunteers. So you're in competition with everybody else that's trying to do good things in the community. And I had never thought of that, but I guess there is competition for resources. And as people's money tightens a little bit, hopefully they'll think of those that are less fortunate and may help them out, because everybody's suffering a little bit with increased expenses. So I appreciate that you're there to help meet these needs. You guys use the kettle money for more than just Christmas stuff, you mentioned.
Yes, we usually get some specific donations for Christmas. When you sign up for Christmas help or you adopt an Angel Tree child, that's usually just the donor buying the gifts themselves. And so that doesn't come off of the top of any of the kettle money. We try to kind of ration it out during the year, because sometimes state grants aren't available our government grants aren't available for things like heating and water and those kind of things. We usually pull most of our money to do that kind of assistance from grants that we get from the government. So it's really important this year, more than ever, that we make our goal, which is $100,000, and we're being generously matched $50,000 by Mr. David Stern and the Stern Family Foundation. So we're hoping to get our $50,000 in so we can get his $50,000.
That's fantastic. And I'm curious, how does that compare to last year's goal?
Last year, our goal was $75,000. Mr. David Stern matched us $25,000. And we were able to make that, so that was good. We made a little bit over $75,000, so it's about a $25,000 increase, but we do also have the increased match as well. So we're hoping and we're praying that it'll happen. We're about 20% of the goal right now.
Well, that is fantastic, and I certainly knew that the need has increased, so I'm glad that your budget and your potential matching donations have increased as well. I am curious, you mentioned something about other programs such as helping people with utilities. Could you talk a little bit about that program?
Yep. All year round, we help people with things like our food pantry. We've just transitioned to a walk-through food pantry model. So when people come in and they're in need of food, they get to go with one of our volunteers and a little shopping list based on the number of people in their family, and they get to go and pick out their food. And I always tell people, the bravest thing that you did today was dialing that last number of our phone number or actually walking through the door to get the help. There's no judgment when people come in. We're just happy to help if we're able to. During the year, sometimes in years past, we've been able to get different grants to help with things like rent and utility bills. Unfortunately, right now, with all of different budget things, we don't know what that's going to look like for the year, but we are active participants in the Dollar Energy Program, which is a First Energy program to help people offset some of their bills. We do the applications for those. And so we encourage people, if you need help with your Penelec bill, give us a call, and we might have some questions for you because we have to do an application process. But if you qualify for the program, we're always happy to do that application with the people.
Well, that's great to hear. And you know, I hadn't thought of rent, I guess because I don't rent. I have my own home, but gosh, I hear everybody talking about how much rents have increased and how difficult it is to even find a rental place right now. So I'm sure that need has grown significantly too.
Yeah, we have quite a few people that call for help with their rent. We always make sure that we suggest to people first to have conversations with their landlords. I mean, sometimes it's, I'm going to be a week or two behind and I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen. And we say, well, make sure you're in constant communication with your landlord so that they're aware of what's going on or the hardships, because some of them are able to say, I can wait 5 days. You know, not that everybody can do that, but we feel like sometimes communication is a dying art. So we always encourage people, why don't you just talk to them about it? Let them know what's going on.
Right. And that's a great idea because, you know, if they don't know, they don't know.
Exactly.
And they tend to get very anxious and worried, am I ever going to get it? Are they moving or whatever? So it's great to keep in touch and stay on good terms so that if you have to be a little bit late, you might have that opportunity.
Right. Just be honest.
But all you renters out there, remember, your landlords are suffering from all these increased prices too. But
right.
I'm sure if they can, they'll do what they can for you. You mentioned a food pantry, and that's something that I see. There has been a big need increase in the area for food donations. Have you been getting a lot of additional food items donated to you?
Yes, we've had some great local community places do food drives for us, unsolicited food drives. We just had some people walk in and say, hey, my company or my store or my wherever did a food drive for you. Here it is, you know, and they brought in tons of food. And so we're grateful for all of the local places that saw that there was going to be a need and put it out to have a food drive.
That's great. Is there any particular food item that you're needing more than others?
Cereal always seems to be kind of hard to come by, and it's kind of a good thing for all sizes of families to have some kind of cereal. We like it when we get kids' cereal because that's even harder to come by. We do have a lot of families that have children, so that's very helpful. Peanut butter and jelly are also things that are very helpful to have. That's a meal right there, having some peanut butter and jelly and some crackers. Sometimes we have crackers, and sometimes they're a little harder to come by, too. But we really like to make sure that people have that for protein's sake. And right now, it's a little hard to get fresh meat or even frozen meat at the food bank. So we've been asking people for donations of canned meat, tuna, chicken, those kind of things, and soup, because they tend to stretch and go a long way.
Yes, and this is big soup weather, so I can imagine that's popular as well. And I was a cereal kid, so I always appreciated my sugar corn pops and Fruit Loops and what have you. And that's another thing. If you've shopped for cereal, it's very expensive. So these people may have difficulty even providing that for their own kids. Of course, with that comes milk. Do you have anybody donating milk so they can have their cereal comfortably?
Well, usually when we get our food bank order, we get some fresh milk in, which is very helpful. And we also have dry shelf stable milk available. That's, we seem to pretty much always have that. So there's one way or another. And my kids like eating their cereal dry. So
yes, I have a little one that's what he does as well. In fact, he prefers to not use milk at all, now that you mention it. So there's all these things that you don't really think about until you sit down and have a discussion about it. But I can see how meat, hamburger is probably very popular if somebody's in the mood to donate some frozen hamburger for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because we have a lot of things that it can go with. We have some hamburger helper packets. We have spaghetti and sauce, those kind of things. So when we can add meat to it, that's really great.
Well, thank goodness most kids love spaghetti. I know that was always popular at my house. And that's fortunately one of the cheaper items that you can still make. Sauce has gone up, but this pasta is still a good bargain. And I have heard in the past you have other programs. Like, do you have an after-school option for kids?
Well, the Salvation Army is a church. A lot of people don't realize that the Salvation Army is a church. And on Jared Street, that's what we are. So people are a little shocked when they come in and they realize we're not a thrift store. And sometimes they're a little upset that right now we can't take donations. I'm like, I don't have any room for your donations. I don't have a store here. I'm sorry. But we are a church, so we run some standard church programs. We have a Bible study on Tuesday night. We have a kids program that happens on Thursday evening. And we feel like we kind of specialize with children that have neurodivergent needs, because some of these kids have been kicked out of other programs, and we love on them. We're direct with them, and we have a great group, about 40 kids.
Wow.
That come on Thursdays, which is really just, it's fun, and sometimes it gets a little loud, but this is the reason why we're under construction. We needed more room for all these kids.
Yes, that is great. And 40 is quite a bit. And of course, you probably provide them a snack or something with.
We give them full dinner.
Wow.
Full dinner when they come on Thursday, and they love dinner. It's their favorite thing. And several of the children that come to our Thursday program are also recipients of a program we do in the schools, the Love in a Backpack program, where we send home weekend food with children who wouldn't eat between Friday lunch and Monday breakfast. And we provide them with two breakfasts, two lunches, some snacks. That's done through the guidance counselors, identifying children that may be in need of that. And so we haven't always gotten a list, but some of my kids come in on Thursday and say, I can't wait for my raviolis this weekend. And then I know, oh, you're one of my kids. And they want to get thirds and fourths usually on Thursday night then.
Well, I have to admit, breakfast and supper and lunch are three of my three favorite meals. I have always enjoyed eating, so I'm glad to hear that you're meeting their needs. And I hadn't thought about the weekends. I guess there really are some kids that either may not eat or may not eat much over the weekend if they don't get some support.
Right, or sometimes their parents are working, or whatever the situation is. Our goal is not to be judgmental in it, but just to make sure that these kids have full bellies when they go to sleep. And we're very proud of the fact that we can run this program for pretty much all of the weeks of school. The first couple weeks, it takes a little while to get started and get all the kids and know who and what we're helping with. But we're pretty proud of the fact that for about $250, you can support a kid for a whole year to make sure that they're eating every weekend that they're at school.
That is fantastic. Do you need volunteers to help with your children's program? I guess with 40 kids, you probably need a few eyes on them to help them.
Yeah, we do have some pretty great volunteers that come. We're always looking for some more help. If people do want to come and help, they would have to fill out a volunteer packet because all of our people that do anything with children are cleared, and we need to have things like clearances and that kind of thing to protect the children. So if anybody has a passion for watching some kids and interacting with them and giving them a little normalcy, they can come on down to our building and talk to us about that.
That's great. And you know what? I don't know if we gave them your address. Could you give them your address so that people might drop in? And
well, I have to give a disclaimer. I'm not from here, so I think it's called Jared Street. It's 119 South Jared, Jard, whatever you want to call it, 119 South Jared Street here in Dubois.
Yes. Well, one of the most famous eating establishments was the Jard Bar, and they called it Jard. I've also said Jared, so I understand, but I do think most Duboisians call it the Jard Bar. So that's good that you're there, and I've driven past your facility, and you're not far from the United Way.
No, if you're coming at it from the laundromat side, we're about maybe a block and a half before the United Way.
Gotcha. And viewers, one thing that happened before the show, we had somebody not involved with the program come up to the captain and mention how much the Salvation Army had meant to her at a time in her life where things weren't going swimmingly for her and she needed some help. And the captain thanked her for letting her know that and showing her appreciation. And she also stressed, even earlier in this show, she stressed that if you come, there's no judgment, and she understands that regardless of your situation, sometimes people fall on hopefully temporary hard times, and they need a hand up instead of a handout. So I was happy to hear that, and I hadn't really thought of that. But as I look back at things that have happened in my life, I understand everybody once in a while has something that they aren't really prepared to deal with. One of my big things was car repairs. I have the worst luck with car repairs, and I was all the time having engines and tires, and those take a big chunk out of your income, especially when you're not expecting it. So I'm glad to hear that you're willing to help people that might be having a temporary hurdle.
Yeah, and I don't know where the narrative started that if somebody is in poverty or somebody is struggling, that it has to be that they're lazy or it has to be that they're having some kind of drug struggle or anything like that. But if I could just encourage anybody listening that poverty isn't selective. It affects everybody in some way or another. Maybe it's not you, it's your neighbor. But the fact of the matter is there are good, hardworking people that just are having a struggle trying to make those ends meet because of rising costs of things, because of things they need for their children. And so I would just encourage people, it's not always people are lazy or people are doing things that they shouldn't be doing with their money. Sometimes it's really, do I buy the toilet paper or do I buy the red shirt that my kid needs for school?
Or milk for the cereal versus right. Water or powdered milk. And that's a wonderful point to make because I know there are some local business owners that occasionally tell their story about how they started and they were receiving food stamps and they were absolutely destitute starting their companies. And when the companies finally took off, they're no longer destitute and they're helping others.
Yeah, it's
but,
great.
I know as somebody that started a business, it's very cost intensive, lots of unexpected expenses and not very much help.
Right.
So
right.
Even somebody that's today doing very well came often from humble beginnings. One of my favorite stories is Colonel Sanders from Kentucky Fried
right.
Chicken. He retired and he got his first Social Security check and he realized he just was not going to be able to survive on it. So he went back to work and he became wealthy with the chicken business very late in life, very
yep.
late in life. And I'm very inspired by that. So no matter who you are, you have some times where you could use a help. We're going to go to a commercial, and we'll be back, and we'll hear more about the Dubois Salvation Army.
LifespanFamilyServices.com provides foster care and adoption services throughout this area. Lifespan helps train you, support you, and works with you to make you a quality foster parent. If you have any interest in fostering, please call us today at 814-375-1314. We have a foster parent here today, and I'd like to ask, what is one thing that you thought was the most important reason to use Lifespan Family Services as your foster care provider?
Whenever my husband and I were researching foster agencies to work with, we were drawn to Lifespan. And then whenever we began to reach out, Lifespan was very responsive in getting back to us and being very patient while they walked us through the steps that we needed to take in order to become approved foster parent.
Was it an easy process?
Yes, with the guidance of our caseworker, we were able to take the trainings, receive our clearances, meet all of our home requirements in a very timely manner.
So folks, if you'd like to foster, we will help you on your journey to become a quality foster parent. LifespanFamilyServices.com.
We're back on the Contact program on Connect FM at 96.7 or 99.7. If you're just joining, we're at the tail end of the show, but we have Captain Brianne Spooner of the Dubois Area Salvation Army. She's been talking about the programs and the needs, and I've been editorializing on how I'm sure the need has increased because absolutely everything has increased in expense. One thing I didn't ask you, Captain, is you mentioned your services. We ought to tell the viewers what time your services are in case they'd like to pop in.
Yeah, so on Sunday morning, we have Sunday school for all of the ages at 9:30 in the morning. And then our church service starts at 11, and we definitely have a seat for you, so make sure you're there.
That sounds good. And how about your hours for people that might want to drop off donations, whether it be cash or food or checks or whatever?
We're open from 9 to noon and 1 to 4, Monday through Thursday. And if you're coming because you need some help, we like for you to be there about 15 minutes before we close, so we make sure that we can give our attention to you.
And that is a good point to make as well. If somebody comes in at 1 minute till, you may not have as much time as you'd like to help them out. So.
Right, we do have an office manager, and we respect her lunchtime.
That's great. She has to eat, too. And that saves you a little bit from having to staff that lunch hour. So that's good. And I'm sure that's probably not a very busy time over the lunch hour. Well, Captain, you've taught us a lot. I guess a question I have, I'm always curious how the Salvation Army rotates their staff. It seems that they would like you to go elsewhere. Like if you join the Salvation Army, they're probably not going to have you local. They're probably going to send you somewhere.
So if you join the Salvation Army, if you're a member of our church, that doesn't automatically mean you're going to start going other places. My husband and I had to go to the Salvation Army Seminary School, where we were both ordained as ministers in the Salvation Army. And this is our fifth spot we've been in 13 years. But this is our seventh Christmas here. So we've been here for a while now, and we feel like we're kind of just getting started. We know enough people in town now to call up favors when we need them. And so it kind of depends on the administration. Sometimes you're here, you're in a place for 3 to 5 years. Sometimes you're in a place longer, and it's looking like for us, which we're very excited about, that it might be a little bit longer.
Well, that's great. We're happy to have you. I know at one time, I don't remember what they call the head of the Salvation Army, but he was from Pennsylvania. It was a gentleman from Newcastle, Pennsylvania, that was the head of the National.
The National Commander, yes.
Yes. And I had the pleasure of meeting him. Well, folks, think hard about how much your expenses have gone up. Think hard about those that might be less fortunate than you that are having an extra hard time this year because they don't have as much money on hand because of all the increases with our taxes, our utilities, and everything you can think of. And please do what you can to help those in need by making a donation to the Salvation Army and other organizations. But the Salvation Army is meeting particular needs and is very helpful to the people of our community. So if you could stop by and help them out and help them provide services to those that are more in need than you might be, it would be greatly appreciated. And thank you today, Captain, for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You can get fake news anywhere. You get Fox News.